Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. This is a very big treat. I did not realize my guest today has been a friend of mine for quite a while. He is one of the smartest people you're going to hear talk about what's really happening in this nation and around the world. He's written two books with General Flynn as a partner on 5G warfare that I highly suggest you not only have, but you buy for other people and you share far and wide. It is really important we understand the battle that we face. And Boone Cutler has done more than most to kind of give you the guide to survive this and get through it the best way possible. Thank you for joining me, Boone Cutler.
Mel, how are you doing today? Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm doing great. I can't believe we haven't done this and we don't do it regularly. We are going to now. Thank you so much for joining me. For the audience that may not know you yet, can you tell everyone about your background and who you are, and then we'll get into where we are?
Sure. The long and the short of it is my background comes from the military. I started out in the military and the infantry, and then I reclassed in psychological operations. I deployed to Iraq as a psychological operations team sergeant. And then I got out of the military. And my time in Sadr City was very, very shaping of the way I see things and the way I understand things and the way I see basically fifth generation warfare and psychological operations, because it was such a kinetic environment that we really got to see the effects of psychological operations to either make that go away or redirect it. And then I got out of the military and I spent a lot of years, I mean, more than a decade, doing veteran advocacy in the veteran community until so much nonsense that just started happening and it was everywhere. It was like, okay, come on, this is ridiculous. The same stuff that I've seen, the same stuff that I know, I'm talking to my buddies who've done the same types of work and say, hey guys, this is stuff in our country starting to look a little familiar. And everybody's like, yeah, it looks really familiar. And then it was time to, you know, step it back up and get into the game. And if there's other guys out there, you know, with any type of special operations community background, you know, it's go time. It's time to step up. It's time to get out here. And we're not talking about taking down trains and blowing up cars and doing all that kind of fun stuff. We're talking about just educating our people as to what things look like when we're talking about fifth generation warfare or hybrid warfare or regular warfare and how that's affecting the people around us. We see it. We talk about it with each other. We need to start talking about it with everybody else so they can understand it.
Yeah. And you worked recently with my good friend Mike Smith on a documentary, Into the Light, where you do shed a lot of light on that. And there are some other people, obviously, General Flynn talks about it a lot, but you really have been on the forefront of explaining it in a way that people can fully understand. Because just like with evil, or when you talk about the child trafficking, you talk about certain things, people just, they don't want to believe it's true. They want to believe that they're more in control, that they would never be deceived. And they don't really fully want to believe that this is real. And I just did a show on a document I found by a NATO document. There's two of them. Very scary stuff in there about cognitive warfare and about the ability to manipulate individual and group think, but within the brain.
Let me tell you, Mike Smith's movie, what he's got going on with Into the Light, I think is probably the best film, no probably about it, is the best film that's been put out that is relative to our current day and time. And I think people really need to pay attention to that. And I think it goes hand in hand with the books that General Flynn and I are writing. And this is good. So we're starting to see this proliferation of messaging that's really explaining what's going on. And I think that's good for people, because like you were talking about with the cognitive warfare, the bottom line is that when people don't understand what's happening, they don't know how to react, therefore they do nothing. And that's why you see so many people in this confusion. They get angry, they get sad, they become depressed in many cases, and then they do nothing about it. They don't take any action. The reason they don't take any action is because they just don't understand the situation they're in, so therefore they just freeze, they just sit. And so there's a huge learning curve right now for the American people, for all freedom-loving people around the world. And that is, hey, listen, I know you feel confused, okay? Because we see it, we talk to you about it, we hear it. Let's take away the confusion and then we can decide what to do next. But first, let's explain what's happening. And it's amazing when you take that approach, how people are like, okay, well, now I understand what a dishwasher is. I'll put dishes in the dishwasher and I'll have clean dishes. You know, it's one of these things. If you just looked at a dishwasher one day and had no idea, it just appeared out from the sky, you probably wouldn't use it because you didn't know it. But if someone showed up and said, hey, listen, here's what you do. This is a dishwasher. This is how it works. You'd have clean dishes all the time. You wouldn't have to do all the work. You wouldn't be confused and it wouldn't scare you. It's the same situation we're talking about cognitive warfare. Once people understand how the apparatus around you is working in order to affect the cognitive battle space, which primarily focuses on emotions. That's why we say protect your mind, control your emotions. You really cannot protect your mind unless you control your emotions. What does that mean? Well, when we're talking about artificial intelligence, when we're talking about the things we see in the digital space, protecting your emotions truly, truly means always asking yourself, what else could it be? What else could it be? Because you're getting thrown all these messages, all these videos, all this other stuff, which is totally curated someplace and then put in front of you. And that's the big deal. People need to understand that's how the AI systems work. It's one of the ways they work, is they identify you. They look at all your data points and say, okay, this person is this type of person that believes these things and is moving in that direction. What do I need to put in front of them and the people close to them to push them to this side so they're moving in that direction? And they do that by curating these messages and making sure they're constantly in front of you and they're around the people that are close to you. So you're getting information from a trusted source that is the same thing that you're seeing in your online systems. Now it feels real. Now, what is that called? Well, that just means you've been put into an echo chamber for yourself. And then that's it. And then over here, that you've got another group of people that have different motivators, they have different aspirations, they have different fears, they have different vulnerabilities. They're doing the same thing to them. And then they get us pointing at each other saying, see, you guys are each other's enemy. You're trying to take away happiness from each other. And it's totally fabricated. It is totally fabricated. In the old days, before all the AI systems, this is the kind of stuff that we used to do on the ground. We would do exactly this. You know, we had divisive operations. We'd have operations that do empowerment. We had different types of operations. And there's different ways to do that. But now, since everybody's in front of these screens, it's 24/7, and you think you're in control, because the last thing anybody wants to admit is that they're being fooled. Well, they are being fooled. They're being fooled every day. And you're being fooled to rely on your emotions and getting away from that ability to critically think. That's why in session one, we discussed pretty in depth on, hey, this is what critical thinking is. And I bet you right now, your audience is out there going, yep, people need to think critically. Yep, people need to think critically. But when was the last time you actually looked up the definition on thinking critically so you know what it is, so you know how to do it? And a lot of times it just comes down to, okay, I saw something that made me emotional. What else could it be? And then what else could it be? And then what else could it be? And then you attach some sort of likelihood to each one. And now you can calm your emotions down. You can look at things critically and decide which way you should go. But there's a lot of this, and it's constant. And I just want to put out to people that there's a reason why the people around you are absolutely having the same type of fear. Did you lose me?
No, you're good.
Okay. There's a reason why people around you are saying the same thing you are, and it's because of this contrived tribalization aspect of what happens inside these systems. And we can get away from that. We can fix that. But it comes down to having a good amount of discipline, tech hygiene, and moving all of your energy from the digital world into the physical domain. That means we've got to get a good network within a 10-minute car drive of our home. And be able to engage with that network and have agreements with that network and things of this nature, because they want to get us vulnerable. And the reason they do, it's a manufacturing consent paradigm, right? Manufacturing consent. Bernays talked about it. That was his big thing, manufacturing consent. And they want us in a situation where we're going to get vulnerable and say, please, Big Daddy government, come save me. I don't care what you have to do it. Well, we need to remove our vulnerability so we don't get to that emotional state. And that's a whole big long answer for a lot of things you were asking about, but
I think it's a good start. That's what I do on this show. I'd rather have long conversations that give real answers than short conversations that give sound bites. So I love it. And now that I got you, you're going to be coming back a lot because I talk about a lot of this stuff. But one thing is, there's a woman that I wrote a screenplay about 20 years ago named Hannah Arendt. She wrote a book, Origin Origins of Totalitarianism that talks about a lot of this and a lot of books she wrote that I've read. And one thing that she talks about a lot is that for a totalitarian regime that I believe is kind of what they'd like to install worldwide with global governance, one thing that's very important is to, she says, loneliness and isolation is a big, big tool of people that would like to impose totalitarianism. Certainly was. She's talking mainly about Germany and Stalin and Mao. But what a lot of people think, I think that's a misconception about the internet and social media, is that it's brought us closer. And I happen to believe the opposite. I think that it's made people more lonely, more isolated, more desperate, because the human connection is removed. The attack, you know, this whole like trolling and attack thing has become heightened. People are living behind fake personas. These are not how people would ever interact in real life. The whole exchange of energy that you're talking about, that we talk about a lot, and I have also with General Flynn, about having to get together with your neighbors and your people in real life. It's a very different experience to be around somebody and exchange emotions and energy in real life. I think that it's been very isolating and much more anti-social social media. I think it's become very dangerous. And I wanted your thoughts on that, because they act like, oh, now we're all connected. And I say, no, we're not. I think the opposite.
We're not connected. We're siloed. Right. We're siloed as groups. We're siloed as individuals. We're not connected at all. In the old days, way back, 15 years ago, when you went to work, they had a water cooler. You know, you want to get a drink of water, you went to the water cooler, and they used to talk about water cooler conversations, right, or conversations at the copier, you know, where you're waiting for your copy, the guy and the person in front of you get them the copies, and you got to do whatever it was, you know, wherever. But what we're talking about here is people who just work in a place, who happen to find themselves at the same location past the time. And as a matter of politeness, it makes small talk. And you could be sitting there with a coworker that had completely different political views, completely different, you know, everything, but you'd find something to talk about that was common, like, oh, you know, the weather, or, oh, you know, my kids started school today, or, oh, we got to do back to school shopping. But there was a politeness, there was a humanity involved in it to find a commonality. And on the social media side, we don't find commonalities anymore. We only find people who are just like us, and other people find people just like them. And that's adding to the problems, because then we get into the physical domain and we see maybe the color of a person's skin, or a certain shirt that they're wearing from a certain band, or a certain movie they watched. And immediately it's the judgment, you know, oh, well, they're that kind of person. And then you ignore them, you stay away from them. It's not even a politeness anymore. And this is a major problem. This isn't bringing us together. And here's the screwed up part is, yes, it's contrived, but it only works because we're allowing it to work, because we're constantly looking for our own comfort zone. And people who are hanging out online all day long and all week, they're only staying in their comfort zone. They're not trying to go out and learn what another group believes and why they believe it, and who are these people, and do they have children too? And it's just not happening. And so we're getting into, this is easily pushed into something, I mean, aside from the loneliness, it's getting pushed into a concept of learned helplessness. And learned helplessness is a very, very dangerous thing. And it has to occur in areas where governments are trying to become totalitarian, which is what it means is by pretending I'm helpless, they won't attack me. I'm not a target. Right. And so this is what you're seeing over and over again. So we're not getting into the physical domain, having open discussions anymore with each other, because we're afraid we're going to be that target. There's that learned helplessness that's happening. So instead, we do stuff online. You know, we talk online, and then it becomes amplified and polarized because we're being silenced in the physical domain. And so it's out of balance. There's a huge lack of balance that's happening. And because we are people, because this is the way humans behave, it's going to be weaponized. We like to tell people everything is weaponized until something better can be weaponized. At some point in time, it was guns. At some point in time, it was rockets. At some point in time, it was boats. Well, guess what it is now? You're yes. That which is weaponized. And if we don't get really deep into understanding, we have to understand that just like any war, okay, if I'm a brand new private in basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, they're going to bring that M16A2 rifle, and they're going to tell me this is M16A2 rifle. It's an M16A2 air-cooled gas-operated fired from the shoulder weapon. We're going to go through the nomenclature. We're going to know everything about it. And it's the same thing today, except we have to be disciplined to understand how our adversaries are using us as a weapon and understanding how we can be used as a weapon. What is this mechanism up here and how does it work? And how do we make sure it doesn't fall into the wrong hands? And I know that's these diatribes are for a reason. We only have so much time. And just like you said, there's so many people out there that want a soundbite. They want a meme that's going to tell them everything. And then they're going to be able to go on with their life. And it's not the way. I mean, if General Flynn and I could have written this word in less than 28,000 words, this book in less than 28,000 words, believe me, we would have done it. It couldn't be done.
No.
You know, the artificial intelligence book, if we could have written that in less than 50,000 words, believe me, we would have done it. It couldn't be done. Right. So we've got to, as part of that discipline is, we've got to get trained. We have got to get trained as a people because we are being weaponized against each other. And as you see things coming up from the South, people coming up from the South, as you're seeing different polarization points that are happening, Palestinian, Israeli, you know, all this stuff, this is pushing into the United States now. How are we going to deal with that? Okay. How are we going to deal with that? And how are we going to deal with each other? Because at some point in time, it's not going to be their problem. It's going to be our problem. And how are we going to work that stuff out? Because it gets nasty real quick. And I can see it now, especially over this last week, the polarization, you know, pro-Palestinian, or, you know, the Israelis, the whatever, you know, yeah. The people jump into the fantastical past about things that I don't even understand. I don't even think it's relative today. You know, I'm looking at 30 meter targets. I don't have time to look back 400 years. You know, I just don't. I don't think anybody has time for that unless you're a historian and that's what you do in life. But if you're dealing with the situation right now, we've got to look right in front of us. And in front of us, we are people, and there are people that are manipulating us. And they're doing that for political reasons because they're trying to create a situation where there is manufactured consent and we beg for the government to come and save us. And then they do. And then you end up in things like 15-minute cities, which is just another real sexy way of saying concentration camp. We don't want to do these things. We don't want to do these things. Trust me.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of people point out how Donald Trump would say, they're not after me, they're after you, and I'm in the way. And I've been saying to people, they're not after America, they're after the world, and America is in the way. And I really want people to understand that what you're saying right now is very important. I believe, and I've studied 20 years of color revolutions. I believe that the people that manipulate color revolutions all over the world, my audience is familiar because I talk about it a lot, are doing that here. And what's hard to watch is that these people, because I follow the money a lot on my shows, and I can connect 10 billionaires. I call them the global billionaire oligarchy that are running America. I feel that our government has been captured on the government level in D.C. I believe that in my opinion, the lobbyists, the NGOs, the think tanks are running a lot more than any one person that is elected, period. But above them is also a global public-private partnership that exists as well. They don't hide this. You know, we see all their groups and their, I call them the octopus of global control. They have all different tentacles wherever, but their biggest problem is being seen, and seeing them becomes a big issue. And what they've done in response to that is to try to say that anything outside of their narrative is disinformation, misinformation. They've brought in all these fact checkers. But like I say, if you follow the money of any of these groups, you're going to go right back to the same billionaires funding these NGOs that then fund these fact checking things. So a lot of this has to do with the narrative. Keeping the narrative in line. I mean, Klaus Schwab even wrote a book, and I believe the World Economic Forum is a spoke in the wheel of this group that's really like the PR group. And they put themselves out there and put everything online, so you can't really debate what they're telling you about what they want. But it's this control of the narrative that has become so important. So they have, they say that they have the UN and World Economic Forum with this GARM group that they started, 300,000 influencers and whatever that are fighting misinformation and disinformation when we know that they're the ones putting it out. So when you are hearing this or you're seeing the fact checkers jump in, this is all psychological operations and propaganda, kind of Cass Sunstein's nudge theory, like, oh, we'll say that was wrong. But then if you read the fact check, it's like they're not even talking about what it was, but sound bites again, Twitter lines. When it comes to the narrative, what should people be looking for from your point of view to know that they're being manipulated? Because I think that they're when they're controlling the narrative, they go after certain language. They use certain language that is very inverted. It doesn't mean what they're saying. And are there things that people can look for to realize, oh, wait, that's a red flag. They're trying to control the narrative right there. Do you have any tips on that?
Yeah, I think the first two things that people should look for is one, loaded language. And you know what loaded language is when you see it. You know, it's something that it's emotional. You know, it's loaded. This person, known to associate with white supremacists. Okay, that's loaded language, right? But then they don't give any details to it. It's just this person, white supremacist. That's the only thing people connected. And so that is loaded language. The other thing is one-sided information. You know, it used to be in journalism where they used to give equal time to both sides, and then people could figure that out. You know, okay, what do you really think? What do you want to believe? And then, you know, the commentator would kind of give their synopsis of how both sides are seeing it. I think that was good. I think we need to get back to that. I think we can do it for ourselves. So you're going to want to look for loaded, like anything that causes polarization, you know, anything that causes polarization. And now, is polarization the enemy? Yes, absolutely. Polarization is the enemy, but there are sometimes you work with your enemies, right? And I think when polarization is good, because somebody called me out on this, they're like, I hate Satanists, you know, I'm polarizing this. Is that bad? I'm like, well, that's a big question. First of all, we got to figure out what is a Satanist? Who are the Satanists? Why do you think they're the Satanists? Well, you got to kind of walk down this line. And this is where I kind of get pinned sometimes on social media. People throw these things at me and it's real quick. And I'm like, that's a 45 minute conversation. I mean, really, that's not something I can answer in 120 characters. So it's one of those things. So you want to look for the loaded language. You want to look for selective information. Selective information is number one at that top of the list. You know, are they picking and choosing the little pieces? You see this happening, and this is PSYOP. PSYOP is selective information. You see it online where someone goes, this person is associated with this person and they were at this place. And then all of a sudden they fill in this entire narrative in the middle.
Right.
And it's entire narrative. So they've used selective information to build a narrative. That's total PSYOP. That's total bullshit. You should never believe anything like that. If people are going, I call it the leaps of faith. Someone says, oh, this person was here and they were with that person. Therefore, they make this huge leap of faith that it must equal X. No, there's no leap of faith. You're going to have to show me one, two, all the steps involved that make that. Could you build the court case on what you just said? No, you could not. There's a leap of faith.
Right.
Okay, so you got to back it off. And if the information cannot be selective, it has to be comprehensive. If you're not getting comprehensive information, you're getting selective information, you're being psyoped. Period, end of story. That's the way it goes. Or the person in front of you just is, they're not educated on how to deliver information and you're buying into it. In today's world, we have to be very, very cautious of this because there's a lot of folks out there who are following podcasters because they're the cool kid in high school. Okay. Just because that podcaster is the cool kid in high school doesn't mean they're the smartest person in the room, but they're following people just like high school. Again, they're weaponizing our own behaviors against us. So you've got all these people out, these podcasters, because anybody can have a podcast. And it's like, hey, the coolest kid I know just said that, so I'm going to believe the same thing. Meanwhile, you have no idea how they got their information. You have no idea what it's attached to in their own cognitive battle space. But yeah, you're following right in line. And so we're having that stuff. And it's really sad because we saw in the regular, you know, traditional media, we really saw the news get corrupted. And then everybody moved to cable news. And it was like, okay, now we're getting it. And then cable news became the PSYOP churches. You know, you had this side and that side. And then you see things move into the podcast space. And I had a good friend of mine saying, I love the podcasters because they're giving out the right information. They're giving out more. They're giving out the good information. I said, yeah, but are they asking the right questions? Do they know how to ask the right questions? Are they getting their questions answered by true subject matter experts? Or is it just their cool guy friend who jumped on and they had a conversation about that they would have at a bar or in a locker room or hanging out in the car on their way someplace and somebody got to watch it? And because they got to watch two cool guys have a conversation, they adopt the same perspectives and feelings and whatever, that mentality. This is where things get really dangerous and dicey, and we need to draw attention to it. Just because you're watching the cool guy on TV doesn't mean they are the smartest kid in the room. And just because they said something, if you don't know how they developed that opinion or developed that information, you really should not consume it for yourself and then make it part of your own ideological perspective. That should come from a completely different place. You need to do your own research. Stop trying to hang out with all the cool kids and go to the library and do some research, some real research. These are the issues that we're dealing with right now, because again, it wouldn't be so bad, except that it is so widespread, it's become weaponized. And that's how we're getting siloed and tribalized. And then next comes the dehumanization, and then comes the killing. This is not hard to do. But these are the things that are at work right now.
Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings. I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what. Be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K. Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Yeah. And I think we have to be really cognizant, along with a lot of people that we both know, because we do put ourselves out there and on the front lines, have had this, you know, take a piece of this, take a piece of that, put this information out there. It's not even close to true, but you can infer. I've seen it happen to many people early on. I was just a writer in Hollywood, so I didn't know much. So in the beginning, when I started looking into this stuff, it really was about history. I write historical drama, so I happen to know a lot about Vietnam or about the lead up to the Holocaust or some other things I've written about in the past. I'm a big history person. So in the beginning, it's very easy to believe that people have actual intel. I believed this 3 years ago. But as time went on, I wanted to prove to myself certain things were true. And it takes some time, but it becomes really gratifying. I think that that's a strong weapon. What you're talking about in this battle is making sure that you prove it to yourself. Ask yourself, do I know that for sure? And if you don't know it for sure because of the internet, good and bad, you can actually start digging for it. And about 2 years ago, I really changed and I said, I don't want anyone to tell me they have intel or any of that and to put that out there unless I know for sure, either that person probably does because of X, Y, and Z, and I check that out, or B, I can find it myself. If not, I'll have on other people that can speak to it, but that know a lot more than me. And I think that there's a stop there when we're talking about critical thinking, which is when you repeat something, you should make sure, or you stand by what somebody says, or you feel like, oh, well, obviously that person is a traitor or whatever. You got to go make sure that for yourself, because if one person does that and another person does that, then we can head towards the truth. But when all these people do that, a thing that is happening, and I wonder what you think about this as well, is that I firmly believe I was kicked off of YouTube 3 years ago, never went back. I would have been kicked off again. So I said to start from zero, which is fine. Never on Telegram, some of these places. Never got back my Twitter, but I feel like people will find you if you're putting out good work and keep going. But there are people that are being amplified. This is cognitive warfare. This is what you guys talk about, 5G warfare. There are people being amplified that were never kicked off of YouTube. And when you look at all the reasons they kicked off the people they did, it's inexplicable as to why, other than if they're making money for Alphabet. But also Twitter, there are people that are amplified. Dramatically amplified, have hundreds of thousands of followers. They won't let me rebuild mine. I see they won't let you rebuild yours. I see what's going on, but people are amplifying specific people. And these aren't people when you look into them and where they came from and their background and all of that. You're thinking, well, they're just talking. This is their opinion. And then what I think happens is these very amplified accounts, say millions of followers or 700,000 people on Twitter. I think people that read down and read that, they start to actually think that what that person is saying is their thinking. Like, if somebody puts out, there's a couple people I can think of particularly, they put out something on Twitter and then you start hearing other people say it and repeat it. And I think that they're implanting what they're thinking and people are absorbing it as if it's their own thinking. You know, that's why I say you really need to stop, go inside and say, do I know that for sure? Do I really think that? It's a kind of brainwashing, but it does look like certain people are amplified. And I wonder, A, who would be amplifying these people? We know a lot of backdoors to social media. And B, are people accepting these big numbered accounts as their own thinking, if that makes sense?
Well, when you see those big numbered accounts, you know, first of all, people consider that an authority. It's an authoritative factor when you see a large number. Okay, it's an authority. This person must be some sort of a authoritative person, otherwise they would not have so much. So that's part of the game. And when you do a scheme, source content, a scheme report is basically, it's how to identify propaganda. That's in there. That's part of it. That's in the book, session two. Right. But the first thing we want to talk about is what you said. Is it, when you see something, people should say, is it true? Is it believable? Is it neither or both? If you could just ask yourself that one question, is it true? Is it believable? Neither or both, because some things are true, but they're not believable. And some things are believable, but they're not true. And some things are both, and sometimes they're neither. So when you're seeing information coming at you, you should ask yourself, this is a good way to get back into that area of doing critical thinking. Is this true? Is it believable? Is it neither? Or is it both? And then if you work from that standpoint, and then you go on your mission, okay, it's believable, but is it true? I need to figure out. And if you can accept yourself, hey, it's just believable, but it might not be true. Well, you've taken a huge step. That's a huge step. So that's one aspect of what you were saying. The other thing you were talking about, technique, about people that are amplified.
Right.
Let me tell you what the CCP does. And you came from Hollywood, so you would understand this as well. There's only certain people that get a voice in Hollywood, right?
Yeah,
and they get a voice in Hollywood based upon certain themes and messages. That's just the way it is.
Right.
Well, these people are selected based upon how susceptible they are to wanting to keep getting that check and keep getting that ego fed. So they're going to stay on message and they're going to continue to put out the same themes. This is important to understand that this is something that is weaponized. If you look at, I'll give you, this is an exact example of how TikTok works. Run by the CCP.
Right.
Okay. Here's how TikTok works. First of all, they identified that someone who has to have certain criteria. One, are they susceptible to Marxism or communism? Okay. That person as an individual. And they know this because it's curated in all the data and the data sets that people have, you know, given up for however long, you know, their entire lives. So they know that it's identified. It's an identifiable factor. The other thing is, are they good looking? Because this is a factor that the CCP wants. They know that people are going to look at people that are good looking more than they're going to look at people that are not good looking. And then the last thing is, do they have a talent people will watch? And it could be playing a kazoo. It could be doing a yo-yo or some dance. It doesn't matter. It's just a talent people will watch. It's something that's entertaining. So if you have someone that is susceptible to their messaging and someone who is susceptible, someone has the ability to be good looking and have a talent, well, then the next thing they do is they flood them with an audience. They flood them with an audience. And the technique is influencing the influencers that influence you. So once they flood them with an audience, then they start making sure they know how to monetize that audience. Now they're on the dole. Now they're making dollars. Now they're clocking dollars from the CCP. They know how to get paid. And it's just by moving an audience in front of them. So they move that audience in front of them. And now this person thinks they're the next fucking Pavarotti because they just had an audience put in front of them. And then there goes the ego and they're a genius. Well, on the side in their feed, they're seeing all this propaganda shit. So when the time comes, they've got this big audience, they're getting paid. Two things happen. One, they make sure that information is in front of them. And then you see this very talented person go on and talk to their big number of, now they're the cool kid, right? They're the cool kid in high school. Yep. Doesn't mean they're the smartest kid in the room. Goes out there and says, I feel this way and this is horrible. And blah, blah, blah. Now all of their minions, all their followers feel the same thing and it gets permeated. Right. Okay, remember that person got in place. They didn't even realize they were getting in place. The next thing, say the US or some other country says, we're going to shut down TikTok. We're going to kill it because this is a propaganda tool. This is an apparatus for propaganda that's affecting the cognitive space of our country. What happens then? All these influencers are making dollars, right?
Right.
They start getting together. They're going to shut us down. We're going to riot. We're going to have, I mean, they protect the apparatus that's feeding them, that's making their ego go up. These are all the things that are in play right now.
Right.
All the things that are in play right now.
Yeah.
And I encourage parents over and over again, you have to put some discipline into the tech access of your children.
Right.
Because that is a primary target audience, believe me, because they just have to wait for them to get older, then they take everything over. They are a primary target audience. I know because when we were in Iraq, the kids were our primary target audience, and look what those kids did, and they got a little older in October 2019.
Right.
They were literally on message, on theme, trying to take over the government.
Yeah.
So
well, Well,
I'm saying these are the things that are happening. So back to where we started that. When people see information, they have to ask themselves, is it true, believable, neither, or both? True, believable, neither, or both. This will help a lot.
Yes. Now, in terms of the actual information out there, what is scary to me, and this is, you know, during COVID, we all learned a lot. I think there's a lot of silver linings of COVID because it shined light on a lot of things. Like I will never look at an so-called expert or somebody from what I call the Poison Ivy League as being better than or more, the curtain was pulled back. Like, I'm never going to do that. We look at the healthcare industry very different, a lot of things very different. Another thing that really came up a lot was informed consent. There was none during the vaccinations, during the tests, all of that. It was just, you're going to do it, all of that. So now when I see the war on the brains and then going through some of these documents, you guys talk about it and I've talked about it on my show pretty in depth. And you look at how advanced DARPA and some of these other programs are, including not just America, worldwide. NATO is one of the leaders at their innovation hub where they're talking about using like biochemistry, neuroscience, frequency, all kinds of implants. I mean, this isn't science fiction. This is in their documents, and some of it goes back years. My thing is, and I mean, and they talk about it, that the new battlefield is the individual brain. And then you have Noah Harari talking about, well, we can hack humans. And he means that. And we watch all
and
of this.
And he's right.
Yeah.
And he's right.
And so that's where the question then comes to, do people understand the level of technology or ability, you know, this bio track and trace, when people go to get through the line quicker at the airport, they're going to do a scan of their face. They're setting themselves up to be in this digital gulag that I believe Eric Schmidt and these people that work with the CCP actually want us all to, like you said, be so helpless that we say, okay, just put us in your digital track and trace surveillance system. We're cool. But it's really very advanced. What can people do about that?
about the informed lack of informed consent of actually taking you and moving you into this digital gulag. And you think you're just doing things for convenience, like when you put your hand on the thing at Amazon or at Whole Foods and you don't realize, no, that's part of your record, like Minority Report is what I see it as.
Yeah, I think the first thing we need to do is, a couple things come to mind when you're talking. One of which is, I think it is very smart to make people paranoid of things that they don't know about. I think it's very smart. And if I'm looking at that from the perspective of the guy conducting the operations, okay? Right. If I'm looking at from the guy conducting the operations, of course I want to create confusion. So I'm going to put out a lot of information that's kind of everywhere. Nobody knows what to believe. So each one of the things you just brought up is a whole separate show that we would have to talk about.
We'll do them all.
Address that stuff. Okay. Yeah, we'll do them all. I got no problem with that. We'll do that. If somebody's got to do it, we'll do it. So I would have to address all those issues. The second thing I would say is that, yes, again, everything is weaponized until something better can be weaponized. Right now, we know that what has been weaponized, it's been weaponized for years that we didn't even think about it, is social media. Not just the social media, the phones. I mean, the listening apparatus is on the phone. There's a reason why you can sit in the car and nobody else is around, just you and your spouse, and talk about, hey, you need laundry detergent. And by the time you get to your house, you look at your phone, there's an ad there for laundry detergent. Okay. Everybody's experienced that. But do you really think that this technology is only owned by Amazon? Absolutely not. Okay. So the conversation that I make jokes. I'll sit down with a bunch of guys my age and we'll sit down and we'll have a drink and we'll be talking and all of our phones are next to each other. And I tell them, hey, just so you know, if we wake up tomorrow and you guys have advertisements on your phone for Viagra, it didn't come from me. It's one of you guys having the problem now. Exactly. Because all of our phones are there. Because they do that. They have there's a situation where all your phones are together. They assume the people in that group are going through the same types of things. So they make sure that information is fed to your phone. So I make jokes about it just so people pay attention. But so if Amazon can do that with products you buy, what do you think other entities are doing with the stuff you say that is confidential, that is intimate with the people around you, your fears, your worries? What do you think they're doing? They're going to capitalize on that. And again and again and again, we're doing this to ourselves because, yes, we need this digital apparatus in order to get out information like you're doing here. We need that. We're not working in the physical domain. I'm working very, very hard in the physical domain. I mean, I get on more planes a month than most pilots. It's to go to places and talk with people because that can't be contrived. Okay, that can't be contrived. And when I'm there, what we're talking about is the way things are happening and the direction in which things are going and what the counter message would be for that in order to cut it off. And no, we're not going to discuss that on air. But these are the things that are happening out there, and more people need to be doing that. That no, that's why again I'm reaching out to all my brothers and sisters in the special operations community who get trained on insurgency, counterinsurgency, psychological operations, all those things, because now is go time. We've got to start talking to people around us about the things we know. We're not holding ninja secrets. We can really talk about this stuff, and we should. And to educate people, because this is what's happening. And it's not just happening here. It's happening in all the freedom-loving countries around the world.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up with
all the stuff you're saying, we've got to, those are all separate shows. And just like we talked about here about breaking it down. Like, it would be great to go on a show with you and say, okay, here's this document. Is this document from so-and-so? And it says this. It was published here. Who published it?
Let's do
who
that.
Who was the person that published it? And going through a whole background on it.
That'd be great.
And really start to break down things. And, just like Netflix does, you got a four-part series. We'll do a four-part series on electronic warfare with a psychological inference.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, we should definitely do that. Because the one thing that I know that I found, and this is what scares me, I'll end on this since I got you, but we're going to do many shows, me and you, about a lot of this stuff, because people have to really understand. One thing, though, that I did a big show during the lockdown phase when they put all the kids into remote learning. Okay. And I looked at who's involved on the back end in remote learning. It wasn't just Google. It wasn't just, you know, Intel. There was a lot of different companies, and a lot of them were part of this public-private partnership. A lot of them connected to World Economic Forum and UNESCO and all of this. But this was, your kids were home. They were going to go on to the government remote learning school. And what after I did a lot of research, I mean, days of it, I realized, I think that they're creating dossiers on these children that are now forced to go continue public school in America online. And it's not individual. And then while they were in school, they would put up these like happy face to sad face. How are you feeling right now? And then I learned that like some of them were watching their eye movements and all of that. And so to me, it just seems like what you just said about sitting at a table with your friends and that's all happening is that people are willingly giving their information to A, we don't know to whom, like you said, where's this information going? A lot of this does trace to a lot of these companies that people don't realize do trace to the military, specifically DARPA. But on top of that, people don't have to give as much information. Like for me, I say to people, you don't have to have all those apps on your phone. You don't know who has deals on the back end with these people. And I think that it's really important for people to understand that the question isn't, I don't want a 15-minute city or a smart meter put in my house. The question should be, where's the data going on me? Where's my private? Because this is also about the end of privacy. You hear some of these demonic characters, or I call them demonic, Harari specifically, but a lot of these guys, they talk about, well, if you've nothing to hide, but you're not giving consent, but people are by not being discerning about what they are downloading on their phone, or do they really need that app? So, you know, to me, I want to end on how people can take control and really take back their power as much as they can at this point, and not be so naive to give so much information out without knowing who's getting your information. That's what I think is the scariest is, you know, you can put up pictures of your kids, like cheerleading, you know, competition on Facebook, but who's looking at that and who's on the back end there? And Facebook's just an example, but then go all the way down to like a travel app. You don't know who's behind there, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on protecting yourself on that level?
I'm going to tell people that everything that you do through one of these devices is curated into a data set to train an artificial intelligence program. It doesn't matter if it's a text, it doesn't matter if it's an email, it doesn't matter if it's something you say, it doesn't matter if it's a like, it doesn't matter if it's something you shared. It's literally every single thing that you do on these machines is curated into a data set to train an artificial intelligence program. Because they create the program, but they're what they do is like, okay, it's all psychographics, right? I want to talk to, you know, parents who go to cheerleading competitions, people who like parents who go to cheerleading competition. You know, I mean, it's curated down in such a very finite way that what we're looking at is behavior, people's behavior. What do people respond to? How do people react? You know, if I were to go on Instagram today, I just got a new dog, right? Started putting up photos of my dog. Guess what? What's in my feed? A whole bunch of new videos about dogs. Okay, someone assumes I like dogs, therefore I will want to see more dogs. This goes on over and over and over again. And there's no, like, if you ever see me at a place and I take my phone and I throw it in a Faraday bag before we have a conversation, it's not because I think some dude is like, you know, sitting there with a microphone listening to Boone Cutler, though they might be. I'm doing it because I'm trying to show good tech hygiene. You know, tech hygiene, and I don't want to be bothered by my phone. But at the same time, I'm not trying to give up my behavior that's going to end up in a data set and to be used to manipulate other people. That's what I'm really concerned about. I'm worried about things that are logging my behavior that goes into a data set. The data set gets used to go into a program to manipulate other people. I don't like that. I want to take responsibility for that. No, you can't learn behavior. You can't learn behavior about me or my friends, because you're just going to use that information to manipulate people like me and my friends later on in life. So that's a bit of tech discipline and tech hygiene that can be used. And you should be doing these things in your family too. We talk about that in session two a lot. I really hope people, because it's a tremendous amount of stuff that's out there. So to answer your question, why this information is getting pulled in, it's not so someone can do a fraud, you know, could make fraud against you. It's so they're learning your behavior so they can teach that behavior to a system that will then manipulate people. That's why we have to be cautious.
Right. Really important stuff. You have offered, and I will take you up on your offer to come back. Many documents I'd love to go over with you, with my audience as well. And I want to also say Boone has written two books, 5G warfare books that we will have all the links below. They are crucial for you to read, to share, to buy for other people, to buy for your family members. We are in a psychological war as much as anything else. It could be many levels of this or spiritual, emotional, but the cognitive warfare is something that a lot of people aren't aware of. Once you are, you can start to fight back. They have a lot of tools in these books. It's Boone Cutler and General Flynn wrote them together. And
with General Flynn,
And they wrote them to protect you and your family and your children and to give us a fighting chance against a technocracy and technology that is frankly in the wrong hands, in my opinion. Boone, where can people find you? How can people follow you? Where's the best place to buy the book? All that good stuff.
Just ask the NSA. They're following me and finding me
too,
just everywhere. Now, just kidding. You know, you can find me anywhere online now. Most people can find that. And also, you know, just pay attention to these podcasts, wonderful podcasts like yourselves. I think it's a good way to be able to have a little bit of quasi one-on-one time. Yeah. And as far as the books, you can get them anywhere online. Books are sold, or I prefer, because we are trying to work on this parallel economy, is to go to generalflynn.com and buy the books there. They're a little bit cheaper. And also you're not putting that money in the hands of some people maybe you don't want to put it in the hands of. So go to generalflynn.com and get both The Citizen's Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare Session 1 and Session 2.
Great. And thank you so much for your service then and now. I know you're working just as hard now in a different way than you did on the battlefield. And the battlefield is a different battlefield. So I feel much more secure knowing that you're fighting for good and fighting for us. And I really appreciate you. And I will see you again. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is gonna look like. I'm gonna do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm gonna bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof, it's cancel proof, it's truth, it's transparency, it's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. Everyone's been asking me what I've been doing because I am in better shape than I've been probably maybe in my life. And I am now thriving and I have so much energy. I'm going around, I'm doing all these tours and I'm doing the show and I'm showing up at small events and big events. And I'll tell you the one thing that's definitely changed my life is superfoods. Mel K superfoods. When I got involved with superfoods in the beginning, I was not eating right. I was not sleeping right. I was not, it was mid-COVID. So I wasn't really doing much and I was doing a lot of things wrong. And then I found superfoods and it has changed me from the inside out. Not only have I dropped weight, which wasn't even the goal, I really wanted to detox. I wanted to help my immune system. I wanted to make sure I didn't get sick while a lot of other people were. And superfoods came into my life and changed everything. I now think about what I'm eating. I don't have cravings. I don't eat late night. There's a whole protocol. It's so easy. It's laid out for you. You take it out of the box. It's there. All your food's taken care of, all your nutrients, all your energy, all your protein. It is an amazing way to change your life from the inside out. Superfoods changes everything. It gives you a protocol. It gives you a schedule. You know what to do. You know what you're eating. You feel great. You look great. Your life's getting better. And the one thing I know is you can go to themelkshow.com, go down to Superfoods, and you can start your journey. Because today is the day. I will tell you, I waited. And then I started Superfoods. And within 3 months, my entire life changed for the better, more than I could have imagined. MelKShow.com. Go to partners page, down to Superfoods, and click on the link. And you will find a whole new world that will change your mind, change your body, change your life. So when you get superfoods, that helps me and helps this show keep going. I cannot tell you how much it's changed my life for the better, and it will yours too. And enjoy the rest of the show. Mel K Superfoods. Get over there now. There's no time like the present.